by Brother Darrell Rowe, and he's entitled his discourse, Favourite Hymns and Their Writers. So we'd like to ask Brother Darrell Rowe to come forward to present his thoughts, and we're very happy to have them with us all the way from Melbourne. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Darren. And thank you, Brother Greg, for inviting me to serve you today. Thank you all for coming along. Favourite hymns. There's something about a fine old hymn that can stir the heart of a man, that can reach to the goal of his inmost soul, such as no mere preaching can. It's more than the tune of the song that he sings, and it's more than the poet's rhyme. It's the Spirit of God working through these things that gives them power sublime. Those words were penned by an unknown author, but they convey my sentiments on this subject very well. So this presentation is intended to remind you of some of our favourite hymns, and also to give you an insight into the lives of their writers and why these favourite hymns were written. We'll begin with Abide With Me, which was written by Henry Light. Light was born at Kelso in Scotland, 1793. He went to Trinity College, Dublin, and he three times received a prize for his English poetry. He had planned to become a physician, but he changed his mind and he entered the ministry of the Church of England. However, his health was continually threatened by asthma and tuberculosis. But it was he who first coined the phrase, "It is better to wear out than to rust out." Despite his physical frailties, he was tireless as a poet, as a musician, and a minister. In 1818, he was summoned to the deathbed of a neighbouring clergyman who had not had a deep spiritual experience. And so Light said he died happy under the belief that though he had deeply erred, there was one whose death and sufferings would atone for his delinquencies. He added, "I was greatly affected by the whole matter and brought to look at life and its issues with rather a different eye than before." Light married a minister's daughter and took up residence at Lower Brixham in Devonshire. The residence was presented to him by King William IV because of his hospitality and because of the excellent presentation of his choir before the king. As the years passed, Light's health deteriorated. After his last sermon was given, he was advised to seek a warmer climate in Italy. And on the way there, he died of tuberculosis. And he was buried in France at the age of 54. Another of Light's hymns was Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken, which is in the Bible Student Hymnal 185. Abide With Me soon became one of the favourite hymns for Christians during times of sorrow and deep distress. One example was when a great company of miners became entrapped underground after an explosion. That was in Cherry in Illinois. Rescuers took many days to reach the men. some of whom had already lost their lives. As the rescuers got closer to the remaining men, the sound of hymn singing could be heard faintly in the distance. Those men were singing, "Abide with me." The second verse of this hymn focuses on the brevity of our lives and the need for God's help. If you have a Bible student hymnal, you can go through it. But it says, "Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay, and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." So that's where we'll leave Henry Lyte and "Abide with me." Let's look at the next favourite hymn. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." That was written by William Williams, who lived from 1717 to 1791. Williams was known as the Sweet Singer of Wales. He was the son of a prosperous farmer who went to Liswifton Academy. Difficult to say that. To study medicine. But inspired by the preaching of Hal Harris and George Whitfield, he changed his mind and he too entered the ministry. He was ordained and given a license to preach. But because of his evangelistic views, he was not fully recognised by the Anglican Church. So he joined David Rowlands and Harold Harris and the Methodists. And he travelled all over Wales, preaching Christ and singing his hymns. Williams travelled around on horseback, covering 4,000 kilometres a year. And that was done for over 50 years. His first book, which he called Alleluia, was so successful that he kept writing more until he had composed 800 hymns in Welsh, and there were over 100 in English. One hymnologist said this: "What Isaac Watts had been to England, that and more has William Williams been to Wales." Most of William's hymns remain untranslated, but this particular hymn has been more popular than any other in Wales and throughout the world. The imagery depicted in this hymn is that of the Israelites' journey through the wilderness and on into the promised land, comparing it with the Christian experience in this present life. Williams uses such expressions as "pilgrim through this barren land, open now the crystal fountain, let the fire and the cloudy pillar lead me, and bear me through the swelling current." And while doing so, he places great emphasis on the power of Jehovah, the strong deliverer, the one who is our strength and shield, and the provider of the bread from heaven. If we look at the third verse, it speaks of Jehovah carrying us safely through to our home above. "When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside, bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises I will ever give to thee." The Sweet Singer of Wales continued his preaching and singing throughout Wales until he died at the age of 74. But his words still firmly remain in our hearts to this day, to remind us of our own inadequacies and our total dependence upon our Heavenly Father. Let's look at our next hymn. This one is usually sung during a baptismal service. Take My Life and May It Be. It was written by Francis Ridley Havergal. Francis only lived for 42 years, but in that short time she worked harder than most and practiced the Christian life to its fullest, despite her ill health. Her father was a rector at St. Nicholas in Worcester. At the age of 4, she began reading and memorizing the Bible stories. She had a precocious gift for languages, eventually mastering French, German, Italian, Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. Frances dearly wanted to go out as a missionary to some heathen land, but her poor health prevented her from doing so. She wrote more than 60 hymns and was a natural musician and singer. But when she was 14, she experienced a religious awakening, describing it as a deep and lasting sense of consecration. She studied in Düsseldorf for a while, but her frail health brought her home again. However, she did not let that affect her. She worked for long hours at her desk and was much sought after for her counsel and her comfort. If we look at verse 3 of her hymn, it reads, "Take my silver and my gold. Nothing, Lord, would I withhold." Frances actually put her own words into practice. In her diary, she wrote, "Take my silver and my gold now means shipping off all my ornaments to the church missionary house, including a jewel cabinet that is really fit for a countess, where all will be accepted and disposed of. Nearly 50 articles are being packed up. I didn't think I ever packed a box with such pleasure," she said. Another verse of her hymn reads, "Take my feet and let them be swift on errands, Lord, for thee." A missionary who returned from China related the story of a girl who had become a child bride in China, was forced to obey her mother-in-law and keep her Bible out of sight at all times, or else it would be burnt. When she discovered that her ruling had been ignored, she tied the feet of the girl tightly and left her to die in a stable for some days. Another family member eventually freed the girl, but her feet had to be amputated. The mission hospital provided her with artificial feet and gave her a home as well. And the girl worked at the hospital for the rest of her life, often singing Francis's words, take my feet and let them be swift on errands, Lord, for thee." Other hymns by Francis are "Tell It Out" and "I Gave My Life for Thee." Francis died in June 1879. Only 42, but her hymns continue to live on at almost every Christian baptismal service throughout the world. We'll have a look at another hymn, our fourth hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." That's by Isaac Watts. Watts was born in 1674 at Southampton in England. He was the eldest of 9 children. all of whom were brought up in a congregational environment. His father had been arrested several times for partaking in unlawful meetings, and at one point was compelled to spend 6 months in prison, followed by 2 years in another district. At a very early age, Watts was a genius at verse making, so much so that his father threatened punishment upon him if he didn't stop it. He entered the gospel ministry and preached his first sermon at 24 years of age. He was the assistant minister of the Mark Lane Independent Church in London before becoming their regular pastor. When his health failed, he accepted an invitation to live with Sir Thomas and Lady Abney, and he spent the last 36 years of his life in their residence. Watts never married, although he did fall in love with a Miss Elizabeth Singer, who later married Professor Thomas Rowe, R-O-W-E. Watts was unhappy with the standard of hymn singing at his father's church, so his father challenged him to produce hymns which were better. And this he certainly did. And over the next several years, Watts produced no less than 600 hymns, among which were the hymns, "Behold the Glories of the Lamb," "Jesus Shall Reign Where'er the Cross," "Am I a Soldier of the Cross," "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," "Joy to the World," and "Alas, and Did My Saviour Bleed." The third and fourth verses of this hymn particularly focus on the sufferings which our Lord went through prior to his crucifixion. They read, "See, from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." It's unfortunate that both of these original verses have actually been omitted in our Bible student hymnal. Isaac Watts died in November 1748. He was 75. A monument stands next to his grave today, erected as a memorial to his poetic brilliance and to his commitment to the service of God. He remains one of the greatest hymn writers of the Christian faith. Let's look at another hymn. Number 5. "I Will Sing of My Redeemer," written by Philip Bliss. Philip Bliss was born in Pennsylvania in July 1838. His early days were spent on a farm in a lumber camp. He described his childhood as one of abject poverty. He was 12 years of age when he realized that Jesus was the Saviour of the world, and he promised to make him his own Lord and King. He became a member of the Cherry Flats Baptist Church in Pennsylvania. Bliss was always keen on music and singing. After a brief period of training, Bliss moved to Chicago, where he met Dr. George Root, and he began conducting musical conventions throughout the West for about 10 years. When he was 36, Bliss was approached by the evangelists Moody and Whittle with the intent to enter full-time evangelistic work with them. And this challenge he gladly accepted. And from then on until his untimely death, he led the singing in all of their services. He had been visiting his old childhood home in Pennsylvania, along with his wife, and was returning to Chicago by train when a railway bridge collapsed. The train plunged into a ravine 20 metres below and caught fire, actually killing 100 passengers. Bliss survived the fall, but as he went back to retrieve his wife, he was overcome by the smoke and he perished with her in the wreckage. Amongst the wreckage, this hymn text was actually found intact inside his luggage. And so at the very young age of 38, Philip Bliss lost his life. We also sing a number of his other hymns. I gave my life for thee. It is well with my soul. Once for all. And Jesus loves even me. Many other hymns and songs were found in Bliss's book, which was called The Charm for Sunday Schools, printed in 1871. Bliss's final verses in this hymn tell us how Jesus had brought us from death to life through his ransom sacrifice on our behalf. They read, I will praise my dear Redeemer, his triumphant power to save, how the victory he giveth over sin and death and grave. And verse 4, I will sing of my Redeemer and my call to glory too. He from death to life hath brought me, heavenly glory brought to view. Sing, O sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. The last hymn in this series is O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, written by Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley was the younger brother of John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. He was born at Epworth in England on December the 18th, 1708. Charles studied at Christ Church, Oxford, and became one of the greatest hymn writers of all time. He wrote more than 6,000 hymns. Some of the others include Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Soldiers of Christ Arise, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, Jesus, Lover of My Soul, and many, many more. In 1736, Wesley was returning to England across the Atlantic when a huge storm blew up and both passengers and crew began to give up hope of ever arriving back in England. However, after many days of atrocious conditions, the ship finally managed to reach the home country. And Wesley wrote in his diary, I knelt down and blessed the hand that had conducted me through such inextricable mazes. Just after this experience, Wesley wrote, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the raging billows roll, while the tempest still is nigh. While at Oxford University, John and Charles formed a religious group of their own because they were dissatisfied with the spiritual lethargy at their school. their fellow students called them Methodists because of their methodical habits of living and study. After graduating, the Anglican Church sent them to America in order to evangelize the Indians and to preach to the Georgia colonies. They met some German Moravians on board the ship, and they were very impressed with their strong faith and their regular singing, which continued right through a violent storm. John Wesley made a detailed study of the Moravian hymnal and was so impressed that he translated many of the hymns into English and introduced them to the Anglicans in England. And sometime later, both John and Charles met the Moravians again, and that was in Aldersgate in London. And this time they both went through a renewing religious experience and began to tell others of their newfound joy in Jesus Christ and his redeeming power. Both brothers worked tirelessly day and night, travelling on horseback and conducting meetings throughout Great Britain. One journalist estimated that they had travelled 250,000 miles and they had conducted 40,000 public services throughout the country. While travelling along, Charles would be busy writing another of his famous hymn texts, while John would pass on the gospel message to even the smallest listener. Oh, for a Thousand Tongues was written in 1749, on the 11th anniversary of Charles's Aldersgate experience. It was probably inspired due to a comment by a Peter Bowler, the Moravian leader, who said, "Had I 1,000 tongues, I would praise Christ Jesus with all of them." The hymn was originally published with 19 verses, many of them dealing with Charles's own personal feelings, such as, "I felt my Lord's anointing blood close to my soul applied. Me, me he loved, the Son of God, for me he died." After 50 years of service to God, Charles closed his eyes for the last time, after dictating a final hymn of praise to his own wife on March 29, 1788. The last line in each verse summarizes what Jesus has achieved in the believer's heart. Verse 1, "The triumphs of his grace, we are saved by his grace." Verse 2, "'Tis life and health and peace, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." Verse 3, "His blood availed for me." The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Verse 4, "The humble poor believe. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God." So then, friends, we've been looking at just 6 godly people who have written words of inspiration and comfort for the benefit of Christian believers all over the world. Although these hymns were written hundreds of years ago, they remain as popular as ever before because of their focus on the blood of Christ, the power of his resurrection, the comfort his salvation brings to the believer. To Henry Light, to William Williams, to Francis Ridley Havergal, to Isaac Watts, to Philip Bliss, and to Charles Wesley, we say thank you. The world has been made richer because of your work in the service of God. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Darrell, for those beautiful words and bringing us the lives of such servants in the past. Darrell would like to close with the hymn 267, which is Over a Thousand Tongues. We'd all like to stand to sing 267, Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing, My Great Redeemer's Praise, The Glories of My God and King, The Triumph of His Grace, 267. I'll ask Brother Jim Barling to close in prayer after the singing of the hymn, if you wouldn't mind, thanks.
Brethren, let us pray. Our gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, our great Creator God, who has made us all and not we ourselves, we do thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the most inexpressible gift of your beloved Son, our Lord and Saviour, according to your eternal plan and purpose, formulated before anything began and cannot fail in jot or tittle or any way whatsoever. We do thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that it has been your will that we meet together at this, the 40th Maroochydore Nambour Convention, assembled around your word, listening to the speakers that you have appointed to present things to us to take away and think about. And we do thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for the ears to hear such words in this world, this dark world. And dear Heavenly Father, we would ever be mindful of you, looking forward to the rest of the days of this convention so that the feast may carry on. And dear Heavenly Father, may we always be mindful of you, thanking you for everything in all circumstances, through Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We'll break now and we have our evening meal at 6 p.m. in the Orchid Room, in our dining room. We'll all meet there at 6 p.m. We'll have we'll sing Grace together over there. And for those, we can join back at 7:30 for hymns we love and messages. Thank you.